Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship Sunday morning services. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I use the pronouns she and her. And it is my delight to serve this loving and creative congregation. If you are here at 10:30 a.m., it is a pleasure to worship with you in real time. If you are watching a recording, you are also welcome to this beloved community. This is our first live stream service from this sanctuary as we prepare for the day when some people will experience our worship from home and others in the sanctuary, and others will choose to watch a recording at a time convenient for them. So please, offer grace for pauses and glitches as our remarkable tech team, Rick Tangeman, Jim Leonard, Caleb McBride, and Dave Hawk, do this for the very first time. And no worries about our health. Everyone here is vaccinated and masked if they're not speaking. I want each of you to know that you are so welcome here. No matter who you are, the place of the birth, your birth, who you love, your gender, whether you are happy or you're not, productive or not, forgiven or not, you are welcome and you are worthy of love. Our connection to community matters so much. It buoys us and holds us in difficult times. It celebrates with us in good times. And after this service, there are three ways for you to be in community. There's an online coffee hour at 11:30, and there's a link in your order of service that came in your email. An in-person coffee hour at WOOF as soon as you can drive here after the service. We will also be celebrating water communion from 12 to 2. Bring water from somewhere important to you, and your kitchen tap might be just the place. And you'll pour it into a common vessel and take some of WOOF's water shared and blessed from water communions before. If you are new and this is your first time and you want to get to know our community more, please contact Pat Lycan, our administrator. Her email address is on our website. We light this chalice for our community and for all the delights we find here. Let's say our affirmation together. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
And good morning. My name is Brad Hewitt. My pronouns are he and him and his. And it's my delight to be your lay leader today on this beautiful Sunday morning here in Portland. I'd like to share an opening reading from Lee Young Lee. From blossoms comes this brown paper bag of peaches we bought from the joy at the bend in the road where we turned toward signs painted peaches. From laden boughs, from hands, from sweet fellowship in the bends, comes nectar at the roadside. Succulent peaches we devour, dusty skin and all. Comes the familiar dust of summer, dust we eat. Oh, to take what we love inside, to carry within us an orchard, to eat not only the skin, but the shade, not only the sugar, but the days, to hold the fruit in our hands, adore it, then bite into the round jubilance of peach. There are days we live as if death were nowhere, in the background, from joy to joy to joy, from wing to wing. from blossom to blossom to blossom to sweet, impossible blossom.
It's my dad when he talks about growing up in South Carolina, and my mom when she reads me poetry. Happiness is planting a tomato seed and watching it grow in my favorite place, the community garden down the block. In the garden, I can dance with a ladybug on my finger, see butterflies, and chase my friend Juan. I can feed chickens and give all the trees names. I could even pick vegetables to sell at our farmer's market. I think happiness is hearing Juan's parents laugh after they dance salsa under the magnolia tree, and when the sea reaches into her pocket to give me a sand dollar. I think happiness is showing my mom the outer space flowers in my kaleidoscope. That's what I think happiness is. Do you think happiness is to you? What is happiness to you? And that is the end of our story. We will now have time for prayer and meditation and reflection. Dear Spirit of Life, let us remember to every day be grateful for all that makes our lives possible. The green leaves, they take the energy from the sun and turn it into sugar, making all life possible. They offer shade. They absorb the carbon that is heating our planet. They are beautiful. Let us say thank you for leaves. Let us remember all that delights us. The glint of sun on water, the smile of a baby, the face of those we love. Let us say thank you for them. Help us to hold the pain of the world in Afghanistan, where there is so much pain and loss and fear, in communities where wells are no longer pumping water, with those who fill the hospitals and cannot breathe, and those who wait for the hit of Hurricane Ida. Help us to be those who transform the world to a place where those in pain are cared for and love abounds. Now is the time in our service where we speak the names of those that we are holding in our hearts. You can speak those aloud in your home or put their names into the chat so that we can all hold them in their hearts. As we do so, I will light our candles of joy and sorrow. We will now take time to reflect or pray or meditate as we listen to the river is flowing.
We have a reading by Ross Gay, who wrote the Book of Delights. It didn't take me long to learn that the discipline or practice of writing essays on delight occasioned a kind of delighted radar. Or maybe it was more like the development of a delight muscle. Something that implies that the more you study delight, the more delight there is to study. Which is to say, I felt my life to be more full of delight. Not without sorrow or fear or pain or loss, but more full of delight.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good. Fishing the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Summer, I enjoy watching animals, children, and others simply revel in the delight of being alive. Seagulls set themselves up to soar through a fast-moving current of air, and when they spin out, go around and do it again. Seals and otters glide through the water in loops. Whales leap in the air. Dogs bound and sniff. Cats lay out in patches of sun. At the pool, the river, the ocean, people swim, splash, dive, float, sit on paddle boards, simply enjoying the marvel of water. How it glides over us, buoys us up, and cools our skin. The kids throw balls back and forth. Splash and spray each other, chase and tag. They build sandcastles and bury each other in the smooth, slippery stuff. People laugh and smile everywhere I look. During the Olympics, I marvel at all the athletic events humans have created for no other purpose than fun and play. To use our bodies for enjoyment, running, jumping, swimming, diving, surfing, skateboarding, volleyball, soccer, and more. For sure, we have honed those skills into competitive events, seeking human perfection, pushing bodies to injury and minds to breakdowns. But none of it started there. It started out of the joy of being alive in our bodies. Competing for the fun of it, cooperating on teams, and seeing what new movements we could make with the wonderful gift of our bodies. This summer, I delighted in the creamy sweetness of ice cream on my tongue, the sour sweet of raspberry, and the succulents of peaches. I plunge into novels swirled away in characters, places, and problems that have blissfully nothing to do with my own life. I am caught in new ideas that click into place and expand the puzzles I muse about life and grace and ethics. I'm with my kids and friends. We play games, share stories, tell jokes, and in every way just enjoy each other's company with no purpose at all. Our lives are gifts. That we are able to delight in this gift is certainly the most magnificent gift that we are given. To take joy, this is truly the blessing of our lives. Have you ever noticed how delight and joy activate us? In these moments of energy of life, life itself pulses through us, so we feel much more alive than we did a moment before. It is such a good way to live, moving from one of these experiences to the next. But how easy it is for parts of our brain and body that process joy, delight, and pleasure to get clogged up by the detritus of life. We can forget delight, especially in a pandemic, with climate chaos battering the world and increased violence in our city. Our amygdalas, the oldest part of our brain, the part that prioritizes safety and fights or runs or freezes, has been on alert for months. The amygdala narrows our attention, and it does not share well with the parts of our brain that are more relaxed and attentive to pleasure and delight. We can forget delight when we internalize the white supremacist culture that tells us we must be productive and perfect, and of high status to be worthy. Fear seeps in, reminding us to do more and try harder and be better. So, oh please, we will be loved and seen as worthy. We can forget delight, especially when suffering, pain, grief, and trauma flood our bodies. The uncomfortable feelings that we just want to run and hide from. I sometimes think that a culture obsessed with consumer goods and experiences and with rising standards of living should be a culture filled with delight and joy and happiness. And of course, often these things and experiences offered to the privileged in modern life do bring delight and pleasure. The fact that I have enough money for gas and a decent car means I can go to the ocean and the mountains. I take great pleasure in farmer market fruits and vegetables, produce not available to those without transportation and discretionary income. And I will guiltily admit that I get joy from high-end cooking items, at least when they first show up in my life. However, for all of us, consumerism as a societal given often comes with underlying messages about unworthiness and required status objects and the need to be productive in the right ways in order to have enough stuff and experiences to feel fulfilled. Delight and joy are not actually connected to possession of things or exceptional experiences. It turns out you can be on vacation in one of the most beautiful places in the world and be worried about time schedules, currency, language barriers, the quality of lodging, photographs, meals, souvenirs, and take only the most fleeting delight in one's surroundings. The experience of delight is directly correlated to the quality of attention we give each moment. Where we are, what we are doing, and what we have don't matter very much. Possibilities for delight abound when we recognize them. "I know nothing else but miracles," wrote Walt Whitman, a white American poet. "Whether I walk the streets of Manhattan or dart my sight over the roofs of houses toward the sky, or wade with naked feet along the beach just at the edge of the water, or stand under trees in the woods, or walk by day with anyone I love, or sleep in bed at night with anyone I love, or sit at a table at dinner with the rest, or look at strangers opposite me, riding in the car, or watch honeybees busy around the hive in a summer afternoon, or animals feed in the fields, or birds, or the wonderfulness of insects in the air, or the exquisite, delicate, thin curve of the new moon in spring. These, with the rest, one and all, are, to me, miracles. The whole referring, yet each distinct and in its place. To me, every hour of the light and dark is a miracle. Every cubic inch of space is a miracle. Every square yard of the surface of the earth is spread with miracles. Every foot of the interior swarms with miracles. All of these miracles, or we could easily say delights, that Whitman sees are ordinary. It is his attention and attitude that experiences them as delightful, as miracles, as worthy of his gratitude and awe. The experience of delight or joy or pleasure do not require a perfect life, or even a happy one, or one free of suffering. They require our time and our attention. They require our decision to notice. The high value put upon every minute of time, the idea of hurry, hurry as one of those most important objectives of living, is unquestionably the most dangerous enemy of joy, wrote Hermann Hesse, a white German writer. My advice to the person suffering from lack of time and from apathy is this. Seek out each day as many as possible of the small joys. Simple as it sounds, it's not necessarily easy. We get trapped in the spells cast by circumstances and fears or traumas. You know, things like a worldwide pandemic that simply will not end. As white American Buddhist teacher Pema Chodron writes, rejoicing in ordinary things is not sentimental or trite. It actually takes guts. Each time we drop our complaints and allow everyday good fortune to inspire us, we enter the warrior's world. We can do this even in the most difficult moments. Everything we see, hear, taste, and smell has the power to strengthen and uplift us. Russ Gay, a Black American poet, decided a few years ago to write an essay each day on something delightful. He published 102 of these in a collection titled The Book of Delights. He says that more delights than he could write about clamored to be the topic of his next essay. The result was his life became delightful. This was true even though the circumstances of his life changed not at all. In fact, he writes in one essay, I'm trying to remember the last day I haven't been reminded of the inconceivable violence Black people have endured in this country. Still, he delights in his garden and with his friends and seeing bobblehead toys, and drinking small cups of espresso, and even licking the cup, and watching fireflies. His delight sometimes becomes an act of defiance. He writes, one of the objectives of popular culture, popular media, is to make Blackness appear inextricable from suffering, and suffering from Blackness, which is clever as hell if your goal is obscuring the efforts, the systems, historical and ongoing, to ruin Black people. But he continues the essay, and the delight You've been reading a book of delights written by a black person. A book of black delight. Daily as air. Adrienne Marie Brown, a black American activist and writer, who wrote the book Pleasure Activism, makes a similar point. That for those who are black and brown and have for centuries had their bodies used for the pleasure of others, from sex to house cleaning to cooking and serving, that claiming their own pleasure and joy is an act of resistance against that system. This form of resistance is most significant for people of color, but it is also important for women and those whose families have been historically poor, and is important for anyone who claims as their birthright delight, joy, and pleasure in a culture that insists that perfection, productiveness, and status as necessary for worthiness. We are often taught that only after we achieve these things do we deserve joy and happiness. To delight is to be enlivened on our own terms. Delight connects us with others and the world. When I am delighted by the hummingbird who dips its beak into the tall blue flowers outside my door, for that moment, all there is me and her and the blue flower. In that flash of existence, I am one with them. When I am delighted by the taste of coffee in my cup, I am open to all that made that cup possible. The earth, the coffee plant, cultural knowledge about how to grow, roast, and brew coffee, the farmers, and the global system that brings me so far north, seeds grown in the tropics. This is one of Ross Gay's insights. He said in an interview, "You know, the more I look at this book, the more I think about that it's a study of interdependence. So often the things in the book that delighted and delight me are things that shine a light on interdependence or shows how interdependence is constantly happening. Like a kid wanting to high-five me, thinking I'm doing my homework. I feel like some of what delight is these momentary flashes on the web that connects us all." Of course, there are plenty of examples of people who delight in a person or animal or place and harm them by caging and controlling and not considering the delight and needs of the other. Brown, in her work, invites us to experience pleasure and joy, but also to ensure that others have the freedom and space and interconnectedness to experience delight. To delight means of light. To delight at the cost of anyone or anything is to bring pain, not joy, not light. So we always must take care. Now in these days, when hospitals are overflowing, sun shines, a virus spreads rapidly, the air is silky and warm and not too hot, when fires burn out of control and garden tomatoes burst with flavor, this is the time to turn to delight. So many of us are tired and discouraged. So why not attend to what delights us? I don't mean what numbs us or keeps us on the couch, but brings us a surge of joy or a purr of pleasure wakes us up, even for a moment, to wakefulness and aliveness. It's hard to tell sometimes the difference. That chocolate ice cream, it is so easy for me to pull from the freezer before my favorite Netflix show. Is that delight or is that numbing? It can be delightful, and maybe the first few bites many pints ago was delightful. I really know that this ice cream is just to make me feel less bad. It doesn't really bring me alive. Consider, what brings astonishment and wonder? What activities fill you with joy and pleasure? Who are the people who delight you? We are blessed with a marvelous congregation, a community of people who hold us in good times and challenging times and reminds us of what we value most in the world. What brings this community to life is what delights us as we connect with each other. What brings you alive? What aliveness do you want to bring to this community? As we go forward, recreating ourselves in these times of trauma and challenge, we must start here. What brings us alive that connects us with each other and with life? That's one of the attributes of love. And that's our most foundational purpose, to bring more love to ourselves and to the world. Traditionally, this day is chocolate and fruit communion. In that communion, each of you walks to the front of the sanctuary, and I offer you chocolate and fruit, two of the sweet gifts of life. I say to you, for you, the sweetness of life. Today, I cannot offer you chocolate and fruit, but do recommend that sometime this week you take time to delight in each of these. But I can offer you the sweetness of life. So take a deep breath and let it out. And hear me as I tell you this truth. The sweetness of life is yours. It is your birthright as a living creature on this earth. No matter who you are, what you've done, what you've been told to the contrary, and how you are feeling today, the sweetness of life is yours. So delight in it today and every day. Say thank you, thank you, thank you, and sing. So let us sing. Wherever you are right now, stand if you are able, even if you are alone, and sing.
Yeah.
wow, that feels like that, needs an amen. Wish you could have seen some shaking going on here, but hey, maybe next time. And now let us pause to reflect on the gifts we've received from this abundant earth and the generous spirit and family of our family and community. We consider what we have given and what we are grateful for. During the music that follows, please consider the gifts you have to offer to our WOOF community. We remember that we drink from wells we did not dig, and we rest on foundations we did not lay. WOOF exists because of the generous spirit and commitment of all those who came before us, just as our future health depends on the dedication and commitment of those here now. Join me, please, in our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
Our benediction is from Hafez. Go for a walk, if it is not too dark. Get some fresh air. Try to smile. Say something kind to a safe-looking stranger, if one happens by. Always exercise your heart's knowing. You might as well attempt something real along this path. Take your spouse or lover into your arms, the way you did when you first met. Let tenderness pour from your eyes, the way the sun gazes warmly on the earth. Play a game with some children. Extend yourself to a friend. Sing a few songs to your pets and plants. Why not let them get drunk and wild? Let's toast. Every rung we've climbed on evolution's ladder. Whisper, I love you. I love you. To the whole mad world. Let's stop reading about God. We will never understand him. Jump to your feet. Wave your fists. Threaten and warn the whole universe that your heart can no longer live without real love. I extinguish this flame. But not the flame of our faith that asks us each day to grow more love in our lives and in the world. May this flame stay alive with you every day until we meet again.